And joining us now is Ben Silverman, Director of Research at Verity Data. Ben, welcome to the Business Briefing.
Thanks for having me on.
Ben, first, can you tell us a little bit about Verity Data and your role there?
Verity Data provides investment and research tools for institutional investors. We have a platform that provides insider trading data, buyback data, management change data. We also provide unique views of SEC filings, providing redlining and other capabilities. And then we have what we call it's an RMS, a research management system, which is software that institutional investors use to manage their internal research flow. And in my role, I've been here actually for just celebrated my 20th year at the company, and I run a research team where we look at the insider trading and buyback and other data, and we do a lot of data and analytics and provide some qualitative research views as well.
So, you know, we're having a big tech sector earnings week, and buybacks, company buybacks, are a big subject of conversation. Talk to us about why you think investors should be keeping an eye on company buybacks, especially right now.
When we think about big tech and we think about buybacks, the way to think about it is that there's really not a lot of M&A possibility for these larger companies. Apple, Alphabet, Meta, companies like that. Now, we just saw Microsoft complete its acquisition of Activision Blizzard, which is sort of anomalous for, in that space and for companies that size. So with not a lot of M&A opportunity there, big tech companies, use buybacks as a variable dividend, essentially. And so what we're always looking for is, to see, obviously, the changes in the execution of the buyback. A lot of investors tend to focus on the buyback announcements. A company will, alongside earnings, will say our board has authorized a $15 billion plan. Ourselves and our clients, we're more interested in the actual execution. Our companies being opportunistic. When we look at big tech and just a lot of tech companies in general, what we find is, buybacks are just part of their capital allocation scheme. They're not really being opportunistic with them, and so. What really matters for investors is to track these buybacks and to really understand, again, are companies' management teams getting more aggressive when the stock comes in? Are they lightening up on the buyback execution when, the stock rises? Or are they price agnostic and just using it to return, cash to shareholders? And one thing to think about with buybacks versus dividends is, when a company reduces its dividend, it's big news, and it's going to hit the stock hard, and it's something that no management team wants to do. When a company reduces its buyback spend on a quarterly basis, that's less seen, and so it's an easier way to, rein in the cash that they're paying out to shareholders.
Ben, let's talk about some major tech company buybacks that have occurred in the recent past and how they've impacted investor sentiment. I guess one to start with might be Alphabet.
Yeah, Alphabet, when we look at Alphabet, the buybacks are pretty much part of the company's DNA at this point. If we look at the just completed quarter for Q3, they bought back $15.8 billion in shares. Now, that's a record for them, but if we look back at the trailing five quarters, their average was $15.2 billion each quarter. So not what we would call a dramatic acceleration. Another thing to think about is management didn't even address buybacks in their earnings announcement or on their earnings call. So I think, Alphabet is looking at buybacks as, again, just part of a capital allocation scheme. They're not what we would call opportunistic. They're not accelerating, when the stock comes in or, trying to, be aggressive, in any way.
Microsoft is another company. Their buyback volume was down over the past year. Talk to us about their buyback strategy and its implications.
Yeah, so Microsoft actually is interesting because their buyback in Q3 was their smallest in 4 years. Now, that's probably a symptom of the Activision Blizzard deal. That was a $62 billion cash acquisition. So leading up to that deal close, which was about 2 weeks ago, You know, we think that Microsoft's deceleration in buybacks was a result of just conserving some cash to use for that deal. But, you know, the company, you know, the stock had hit a multi-year high during the quarter, and this was the highest price that they'd bought back at in a couple years. So, you know, again, they're looking at buybacks. They're repatriating about, on average, about 1% of shares outstanding, you know, per quarter. You know, you combine that with the stock-based compensation dilution. You cut that rate to what we call an effective ratio to about 50%. So about 50% of the shares they buy back are actually being retired. So they're modestly reducing outstanding share count, you know, on a quarterly basis. And that seems to be their goal.
The next big name, Meta, you say they were fairly aggressive from Q3 22 to Q1 23, but have since reduced their pace. Talk to us about what's been going on with Meta.
Yeah, so Meta's interesting. The company really reined in buybacks in Q2 of this year. But, you know, they just came out with earnings, I believe, yesterday. Always hard to keep up. You know, they were showing signs of, you know, increasing that. So they bought back $3.7 billion in Q3. That compares to just $811 million in Q2. So, but if we go back to Q1, they bought back over 9 billion in shares. So they've definitely reined in that pace. You know, they've got a lot of investments in AI, among other things. And, you know, that's when companies, in this group are reining in this buyback spend, you know, they're usually using it, you know, internally. Microsoft is anomalous there in having done the large acquisition. But otherwise, what they're doing is, you know, they're trying to, you know, deploy that money, you know, either for R&D or, you know, in a lot of cases to retain talent. But so Meta didn't talk about, management didn't talk about their buyback strategy on their call. So, you know, it's a little fuzzy here, you know, why they reduced the buyback spend in Q2, you know, why they started to return in Q3. So what we're going to be looking for, you know, in the future quarters is, are they going to ramp back up to the levels that we had seen in previous years? I mean, if we look to the back half of 2021, the company deployed over $33 billion for buybacks. Now, that wasn't done at a good price. Stocks at around $300 right now, all those buybacks occurred at over $330. So, you know, again, it matters when these companies deploy this capital and at what price. And what, you know, this is a really good example, Meta, of a company that has not done a good job of deploying buyback spend.
And we're speaking with Ben Silverman. He's director of research at Verity Data. Ben, in very general terms, what are you seeing developing for the next coming couple of quarters in regards to buybacks? What major trends are you seeing?
Overall, we are seeing buybacks lightening up a bit. So we saw a fairly substantial sequential and year-over-year decline in Q2. It's Q3 earnings season now, so we're just starting to get in the Q3 execution data. And, you know, based on where we would normally be at in the quarter, it's trending light again, you know. So it's a little hard to predict with just a small amount of data in, but, you know, potentially looking at another 5% decline. You know, and I think this speaks to, you know, multiple things. I think we, you know, in Q3 we had, you know, we had some high stock valuations for the first part of the quarter. You know, tightening credit conditions, you know, increased the cost of capital. Obviously, inflation, you know, there's a lot of geopolitical things going on that will cause companies to start to conserve cash. So, you know, we do feel that we're going to see buybacks this year continue to decline, both in, you know, as the Q3 data comes in and as well as in Q4. You know, it's possible, you know, we start to get a bit of a rebound next year. But one of the interesting things is we've looked at this data for 20 years is that, you know, as a whole, companies deploy more cash for buybacks because they're generating more cash when stock prices are good. So it's a little counterintuitive in that when stock prices start to come in, buybacks actually, you know, start to drop. But that's what, you know, for the back half of the year, you know, we're definitely, you know, we feel like we're going to see a little less buyback activity.
Talk to us a little bit about what else you're doing at Verity Data. Are you engaging in any other interesting research regarding the tech sector or the business community?
Yeah, so one of the main things we do is we analyze insider trading. And, you know, insider trading would be executives and directors at companies, you know, buying and selling their own stocks. So, you know, that's one of our main focus points. And it being earnings season, you know, we're starting to see, you know, insiders start to buy and sell stock in the wake of earnings. So, for example, we saw some good insider buying at Northern Trust and Sherwin-Williams and NASDAQ within the past couple of days. You know, these are, you know, signals that, you know, insiders of the company believe the stock is undervalued. So that's one of our focuses. And, you know, we also, you know, we look at that, you know, in conjunction with buybacks because, you know, when you think about it, a buyback is a management action. The board approves the allocation. Management, you know, usually the CEO and the CFO and some other finance executives will determine the execution. So that's a management action. They're determining what to do with shareholder money. And then when we look at insider trading, that's a management action as well. They're determining what to do with their own money. So, you know, these are both actions versus, you know, words in a press release or in a conference call. And that's the kind of things we like to focus on. What is management actually doing versus what they're saying? You know, we're working on that. And then one of the other things that we're working on is generative AI. You know, this has been in the news. And now how can the investment community get value out of generative AI? And so one way is just through efficiency. So we recently launched a generative AI expert summary for conference call transcripts. So looking at, again, what management says this time, you know, we wanted to apply the power of generative AI to see if we can make it easier for investment professionals to understand what management's saying on earnings calls and to do it very quickly. So we just launched that, and we're very excited about it. And, you know, we think that that type of use case is, you know, really, you know, one of the things that's going to help propel generative AI in this space.
Generative AI, of course, an absolutely fascinating conversation. In our last minute or so, I guess, are you seeing any data about the depth or degree of adoption? I know we talked a lot about sort of the breadth of adoption, but the depth of adoption, I think, is the bigger question. How much is it actually being integrated into company actions?
You know, I mean, certainly, you know, in our space, we're starting to see it more and more, and we're hearing from our clients that they're, you know, deploying it internally. And then when we look out across just the sphere of public companies, you know, it is a hot button topic, you know, whether it is a manufacturing company, a restaurant company, retail, you know, whatever it may be. Certainly, you know, the tech companies are deploying it, you know, aggressively. You know, we saw that with some of the Apple announcements within the past week. It's a wonderful tool. I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about, you know, what can be done with it at this moment, and, you know, certainly the costs involved with using it. You know, one thing I can tell you is that from just, you know, spending the past several months really digging into it, you know, what I see out in the marketplace in terms of productization, and not just in our sector, but just everywhere, you know, there's some smoke and mirrors out there, which is kind of interesting because there's a lot of things that people are saying are being done with AI. But it's probably just a small layer of AI on top of a lot of older technology. But, you know, it's going to, you know, as we've seen with NVIDIA, we're going to see a lot of spending in this space.
Ben, thank you so much for joining us today. Please remind us where we can follow you on social media.
The best place is Verity Platform, where we have our blog, our differentiated podcast available on all major podcast platforms, and then on LinkedIn as well.
Ben Silverman is Director of Research at Verity Data.